believe that Moses wrote any of the Bible?
Was that?
Do they believe Moses wrote any of
them? I think most of these scholars would argue, at least the earliest ones, that Moses probably didn't write any of it. That Moses was, it was like that Moses was probably this guy who did exist, that he was a great leader, but a lot of myths developed about what he did and what he stood for and that type of thing. But one of the strongest evidences for Moses as the author of the Pentateuch is the unity of the first five books. And the fact that now those who try to hold to some updated version of the documentary hypothesis admit to some hypothetical editor tying all this stuff together, right there they're admitting that there is an underlying unity in the book. And usually an underlying unity is, you know, argues for one author.
What difference does it make? Does it make a big difference?
The whole reason why these guys don't want Moses as the traditional author, and if we go to ancient evidence, the most ancient evidence we're going to find is people saying Moses was the author. So, number one, if we're really going to use just good, unless there's reason to doubt, and then the only reason they have for doubting the oldest testimonies that Moses was the author, for instance, the guys who translated the Septuagint believe Moses was the author, okay, 20 years before Christ. And Josiah's Reform, you go back, what was that, 6-something B.C.? He and his people believed Moses, wrote the first five books of the Bible. I mean, if you agree with the documentary hypothesis, guys, then some of the portions of the first five books of the Bible weren't even written yet. And the portions in Josiah's hands were just hot off the press. Yet equally, this is what Moses wrote, 1,000 years ago. So all the evidence is against it. That's number one. But number two, the only reason why they have to attack Moses as the author, Moses is too great of a personage to call a liar, so they don't want to do that, yet they want to say that these miracles never really happened. So they have a bias against the miracles, so the best way to get around it is Moses didn't really write it. These were exaggerations of what occurred, written hundreds of years later by different guys in different places. And I pointed out, too, that the guys who started this movement, were German thinkers, and it's not a coincidence that Germany was the first, German thinkers were the first thinkers to attack the credibility of the Bible. It's not a coincidence that Germany was the first place for Western society, for paganism to make a big comeback, and for the Germany, the first place where the church in a Western country apostatized, and the first place where paganism made a comeback through what was then called the Nazi Party, and that led to the Holocaust. And now we see that happening throughout Europe and in America today, where the neo-paganism is called the New Age movement, and wherever you see paganism, you are going to see, a devaluing of human life, and the Holocaust is right just around the corner. But also the Pentateuch itself, okay, the first five books of the Bible itself, refers to Moses as the author. Okay? And then the Old Testament refers to Moses as the author, and the New Testament refers to Moses as the author. Even Jesus calls Moses the author. So we got to assume all these other guys were wrong in ancient times when they were closer to the events themselves. they were all wrong, and somehow our modern critics are correct. And, you know, some examples are Joshua chapter 8, verse 31, 1 Kings 2, 3, Daniel 9, 11, Mark chapter 12, verse 26, Luke chapter 20, verse 28, and Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Also, there are many eyewitness details in the Pentateuch, whereas sometimes they have an author writing a particular passage who's hundreds of years removed from the customs that are being explained in detail. The customs are no longer practiced in his day. And sometimes he's giving eyewitness details, geographical details, when this guy's supposed to be in Babylon, when the Jews were in Babylonian captivity. And there's eyewitness details of Mount Sinai or the Sinai Peninsula or Egypt. You know, how's this guy going to have access to these eyewitness details if he's grown up in Babylon, maybe lived a little bit of his life in Judea before the Babylonians took him captive? Whoever the author was, of the first five books, he was acquainted with Egypt and also acquainted with the Sinai, the wilderness. He gives eyewitness details of that, but is very unfamiliar with Canaan. He speaks about Canaan as if it's a place he's heard about, but a place where he's never been. So if we're going to push the authors back past Moses, past the conquest, past David and Solomon, okay, it's going to be a guy who's very much acquainted with Israel, but probably doesn't have much background, much knowledge of the Sinai Peninsula or Egypt. But everything's reversed here. The author is acquainted with Egypt and the wilderness, but is unfamiliar with Canaan, which, you know, Moses fits the billet perfectly there. Also, there's a desert atmosphere and point of view. I mean, you can write a book on this, but just to give you an example, what was the prison system like as the Jews were wandering through the wilderness? There was no. I mean, you either committed a crime and, okay, it's bad enough, you're a threat to society, you're put to death, or you just had to pay somebody back sevenfold, whatever it was. But, I mean, if you got a million people moving through the wilderness, you are not going to keep prisoners. And you find that running throughout. It's a nomadic mindset where, you know, we take no prisoners. And so things are, you know, but it also has the desert atmosphere. You know, you're always building tents. You're not building stable houses. The type of diet is more deals with the desert atmosphere. Also, you have second millennium BC customs. You know, Moses buys a plot of ground to bury his wife, and lo and behold, the whole interaction that he has, now we have documentation, that's the way they did transactions in those days when they sold land. The practice of if a guy dies and he doesn't have a child, his widow would then marry his next oldest brother, and that guy would raise the first son to carry on his brother's name. And, you know, you find many of these ancient customs which were actually being practiced there. You know, how would some author, you know, 1,000 years later know about these? Also, there's a higher percentage of Egyptian words found in the first five books of the Bible than the rest of the Bible. We use like an Italian word piano because it's an Italian word. We didn't translate it, and you know, we didn't just make up our own word for it, and we just took that. And you find that in Daniel, the book of Daniel, he has several Greek words. So they try to push back the date, but all the Greek words are of instruments. So you'll have that. You'll have a few here or there. But that's not what you have in the first five books of the Bible. I mean, you have a large chunk of words, or Egyptian words, because they were coming out of Egypt. And so the ancient Hebrew language of that day incorporated many Hebrew words into it. And then you would find as time goes on, you would start to lose that. And you would still retain a few, which is what you find in the rest of the Bible, but not to the same degree, or the same percentage that you would find in the first five books. Again, Moses is the man. Moses is the guy with the Egyptian training. Moses' qualifications, his education, his knowledge of Egypt and of the Sinai area. You know, Acts 7:22, Stephen talks about a little bit about Moses' background. So Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in words and deeds. This is before he leaves Egypt, is what he's talking about here. And so Moses was already a very famous guy who had done tremendous things, and it appears that in ancient times that was understood to mean that not only was he well educated in Egypt, but he had already established himself as a war hero, as somewhat of a general who had won many military victories, even before he took on the responsibility of leading Israel. And so, though God, you know, gave him the victories, Moses, as well as Joshua after him, and later on David, was an expert in military strategy. And I mean, you know, Moses fits this. Some unknown guy later on. I mean, when they do this with Jesus, the Jesus seminar, when it comes to the New Testament, and they say Jesus didn't say all those, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. You know, all those beautiful sayings that Jesus had, kingdom divided.